5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, welcome back. We're going to discuss political and economic systems. Political systems. Countries can have a variety of political systems. They include direct democracy, representative government, a monarchy, and a dictatorship. Direct democracy, sometimes called pure democracy. People gathered to vote on laws in ancient Athens and Rome. So, you're having a direct democracy, right? You're actually showing up and you're raising your hand to cast your vote and you're being counted on the spot, right? That's direct democracy. So, it's very difficult to do in large numbers. People may not know much about the issues they vote on. States and towns in the U.S. use ballot questions to get the public's vote on important issues. Representative government, often called a republic like we have in the United States. The people elect representatives to make the laws. So the people elect the representatives instead of showing up to Congress, every citizen, to vote on each issue. We elect a representative to go and vote on those issues for us. Citizens must pay attention to vote smartly, but do not need to be experts on every law, right? So we need to make sure that we're paying attention to the economic or the political climate so that we can vote for the right individual that promotes our views. Citizens must pay attention to vote smart, but do not need to be experts on every law. Examples are the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and the United Kingdom. A monarchy is a ruler that inherits the throne by birth. You might see that in Great Britain, right? They have a monarchy. They have a queen and a king. Citizens do not have the right to decide laws. Fewer monarchies in the past 100 years are examples of Jordan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. Others, such as the United Kingdom, Sweden, Japan, are now constitutional monarchies, but with a monarchy, a monarch is a ceremonial leader. Dictatorship, one person who controls the total government power. Citizens have few rights and they don't make decisions. Dictators sometimes call themselves president and hold elections, but it's just for show because no one else is allowed to run against them. Examples include Cuba, North Korea, Libya, Egypt, China. So what is economics? And why does this matter in management? Right? So the study of economics is how goods and services are produced, distributed, and consumed. The people who make goods or services are called producers, right? So the people who make these goods and products are producers, right? And the people who buy them are consumers. So there's four different types of economic systems. One, traditional. Two, free enterprise. Three, command. Four, socialism. Let's talk about these, right? Traditional economy. So people find food for themselves and trade for needed goods. We don't see this very seldom, if ever, in our current world, right? We aren't hunters and gatherers anymore, right? We have markets now. We go and buy things, right? But this is the traditional initial economy, right? No companies or governments involved. We all work for ourselves. We all go get our food. We all build our own homes, etc. This system is found among herders or small farms. Free enterprise. Free enterprise, sometimes called capitalism or market economy. Obviously, the United States is an example of a free enterprise economy. People own companies and decide what to produce to make consumers happy, right? They want to have supply and demand, right? So consumers have a demand for a product. Companies come in, provide that demand with supply, and then consumers are happy. Business owners can earn big profits, or they can lose money if a business fails, right? So they're taking a risk with their capital, their assets, their resources, but they can make profits or they can fail, make losses. Some businesses sell stock to get more capital to invest. So one way for a company to raise money is by selling equity into that company and people buy it price per share. Then they have an ownership stake into that company and then the company uses the sale from that stock to fund their operations. A command economy, the government makes economic decisions about what should be produced and how much it should cost. Communist countries usually have a command economy. In communism, the government rules all industries. They own all property, they set all wages, prices, and people are told what to do. Socialism. In socialism, the government runs some of the industries, such as oil, and uses profits to pay for health care and education. Example, Venezuela. So let's look at a comparison of communism versus capitalism. Capitalists say that people have no reason to do a good job in communism because everyone gets the same pay. Products are boring and poorly made. Right? There's no reason to innovate. There's no reason to drive a market. There's no reason to make products that are going to add consumer happiness because the government controls everything. This is what the capitalists think about communism, right? The communist government controls all the resources, so therefore they tell the people what to make, and then the communist government controls the profits. Whereas capitalism, you have a free market with free people that are able to decide through the market what they want, and then people can come in and supply that demand. Communists say that capitalism is unfair to the poor because people at the top of the company get rich, while workers get low wages. They also say capitalists wipe out little companies and destroy the environment to get money. While sometimes this is true, right, we need to be ethical in our approach to business so that we can make sure that we aren't wiping out smaller businesses, right, that we're paying appropriate wages, that we're not exploiting our workforce, and that we're mindful of the environment. Right? It's our job as stewards of the earth to ensure that we take care of it and take care of our people so that we're able to make a happy, strong, vibrant, growing economy and lifestyle for our citizens. So the Cold War took place from 1945 to 1991 after World War II between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. And it was based on getting nations to line up on the communist side or the capitalist side. So you'll notice how Europe was split down the middle. The Soviet Union was from East Germany to the Soviet Union. And then Western Germany consisted of France, England, etc. were on the capitalist side. Today, since the Cold War is over, Russia has allowed some capitalism to come in, which has helped create a better, more substantial economy for their citizens. And communist China also allows some capitalism. So putting politics and economics together, communist countries have been dictatorships in which leaders have tried to control all aspects of the country, which we have found over time just doesn't work. You have to have innovation. You have to have leaders outside of the government that are looking after the welfare of the people. But not all dictators are communists. Some want capitalist companies to come and create jobs. Democracies are sometimes capitalist and sometimes socialist. Voters may elect a leader who promises to help the poor through socialism, or voters may prefer capitalism as a way to create more jobs. So if you put the money in the hands of the people, not always the government is going to be not always pro-growth, right? But people inherently want a better life, a bit more opportunities, right? And they want to do more for their children. So promoting a free but fair and environmental conscious free market capitalist society is the way to go.